Who stood out? I'd say the Bruisers, the medical staff for both teams. I went to the Blue Jackets game live last night, and I watched the Buckeye game on my DVR afterwards. And I think the basketball game was more physical than the hockey game last night. That was a brutal contest. Who stood out to me, obviously, was Caleb Weston. The way he was able to shoot the three last night when the Buckeyes needed buckets badly, especially in the first half, 3 of 4 in the first half, 15 points. He played extremely well, especially down low in the second half. When they needed points, when they needed a defensive stop, he got it done. That was great to see. Dwayne Washington, 17 big points coming off the bench, something he needed to get done. He shot 50%. Against Indiana, he didn't, I don't believe, had many buckets, if any at all, or maybe 1 of 9. You know, it was good to see him get on the hot streak as well. And I'll play at Kyle Young. Kyle Young, this is his first, I think, performance back where he looked like him, his old self after having the appendectomy. He got his stamina back. He looked very good last night to me as well. Yes.
Down there at the end of the game with him getting his jersey ripped. He hit a couple of huge free throws in the final minute of the game to kind of ice this thing. But explain that scenario, how he had his jersey ripped. He said that was the first time that it ever happened to him.
I can't remember the first time. I can't remember it ever happening before to any Buckeye, let alone a basketball play quite like this. Xavier Simpson from Michigan was driving with about 30 seconds to go, driving the lane. Kyle Young fouls him, but as Simpson's going up with his off arm, he grabs Kyle Young's jersey, and when he comes down after missing the basket, he pulls down on Kyle Young's jersey, trying to bring him down to the floor with him, and the jersey rips. And this isn't a small rip. This took out a number. This took out the word state on the jersey. Kyle Young needed a brand new jersey. He took over number 50 for the last 30 seconds last night, because the rip was so big. The Ohio State Hoops on Twitter put a picture of what the jersey looked like afterwards. That was a big rip and also a big swing for the Buckeyes, because they were going to be up one after Xavier Simpson made his two free throws. But then Kyle Young goes to the other line, makes both of his, plus they get possession. It was a big swing for the Buckeyes way, and a big way that the Buckeyes were able to beat Michigan last night.
Ohio State's defense was very effective. You know, Michigan didn't shoot the ball very well. I believe they shot to the tune of 33% last night, and apparently that's been a big issue of theirs throughout the course of the season. Who or what made Ohio State's defense so good in the win last night?
I'll go back to what I said earlier about the fact that they weren't really calling any fouls. There were so many fouls, and Zay Billis kept on pointing it out yesterday, and I agree with him. There were a lot of fouls that could have been called on both teams either way that they just did not call, whether it be putting your chest out on the shooter, whether it be putting your arms straight up, but there's still being contact. Just, you know, dry or charges or blocks or a lot of 50-50 balls in the eyes of the officials that they just said, we'll let them play. It was very physical, and that helped to Ohio State's end, because Michigan, they really don't have a lot of stamina, a lot of depth on their team. Ohio State went 8-9 deep yesterday. I think Michigan went 7 or 8, but they also played a lot of minutes in their previous game. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. But the Buckeye defense, all in all, they adjusted to how the officials were calling the game. Down low is where they really where they made their muscle last night. The play of Kyle Young, EJ Liddell, and Caleb Weston really got the job done for the Buckeyes against Michigan.
We're speaking with Sean Dunnigan, WBNS 10 TV, down in Columbus. All right, last week we had talked a little bit about this Caleb Weston situation. He had a really nice performance last night, another double-double. And in our conversation last week, we talked about how Ohio State may get into a scenario where they have to go small. They did that a couple of weeks ago, gave them at least a little bit of success. And if they continue to go small, that means he's really not playing much, if at all. Do you still see a scenario where they could potentially go with that philosophy?
No. The Big Ten is made up of some of the best big men and point guards in the country. And if you take one of the best big men in the country and Caleb Weston out of the equation, C.J. Walker isn't one of the best point guards in the country to make up for that. You lose a lot when you take Caleb Wesson out. And, yes, you can go small, but the Buckeyes aren't hitting the threes right now. They're on a consistent basis where I think you could do that. Caleb Wesson being in there is also a three-point shooter. That helps big time, and I think you need Caleb Wesson to be performing well and be able to perform day in and day out to have your best shot at making the tournament and going far in the dance.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they use him moving forward. But, you know, we had that conversation last week. I think at the time it had some credence for sure. I don't know that it does anymore because as good as he is, I'm just not so sure that even if you get into a scenario where you think playing small is going to be your best option, you've got to stick with what got you there. And I have a hard time believing that the Buckeyes would get away from Caleb Wesson. But right now, Donnie, it seems like they're playing with at least a little bit more confidence. You know, Michigan's not a bad team. They're not great either. But, you know, beating a team like that certainly seems like it could do a lot for Ohio State's confidence.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, those two teams were tied for 11th or 12th in the Big Ten. Ohio State, they get out of that tie now, but they're still down in the bottom. But now they're within striking distance of getting to a 9 seed in the conference, an 8 seed, a 7 seed. Instead of being down, you know, they have a chance to get out of that first round of where the last four teams play, which is big come conference tournament time. You want that rest. You want as much rest as you can get come tournament time.
And we're about a month away from launching into the conference tournament and about 6 weeks away from the big dance as well. So that will
remind me.
Hey, you were getting close, my friend. We're getting very, very close. Well, signing day is usually the first indication that March Madness is not all that far away. Signing day today still means something, maybe not nearly as much as it used to when they didn't have different signing periods, but it's still a pretty big day for all the high school kids in the area announcing where they're going to continue their athletic careers. And, you know, certainly for Ohio State, it's a big day as well. They're making an entire show out of it later on tonight on the Ryan Day Show with a special OSU Signing Day edition of that. But as you take a look at Ohio State's class, any big surprises come down the pike today? Anything that really stands out to you?
No, they made their one signing at Cameron Martinez, which we talked about last week. Again, that wasn't a big surprise because he's been committed to Ohio State the entire time. He just didn't sign in December during the early signing period. That was when Jeff Hafley was leaving Ohio State to become the new head coach at Boston College. Nobody knew who would be coming in to replace him. Now we know that's Kerry Combs. One of the first things Kerry Combs did at Ohio State was go visit Cameron Martinez up in Muskingum, Michigan, to talk to the reigning Mr. Michigan Football Player of the Year. And it seemed to do the trick. Ryan Day went up there as well. And they held on to Cameron Martinez, a great athlete, great quarterback. They're gonna put him in and see what he does at H-back, at corner, kind of see what he wants to do. But he only played quarterback in high school. He's not going to play quarterback in college, but they want him really bad for what he can bring just as far as athletic ability, and they're really excited about him. The biggest thing today was meeting the 14 early enrollees. Hear what they have to say with their first month being on campus. We're talking guys like Paris Johnson Jr. from the five-star offensive tackle from Cincinnati. We're talking Julian Fleming, the five-star wide receiver from Pennsylvania, one of the top players in the country. C.J. Stroud and Jack Miller, the two quarterbacks that the Buckeyes signed. Talking to them about, you know, the fact that, yes, they know they're in a quarterback battle with each other. But that hasn't stopped them from going out and grabbing lunch and talking to each other every day and not just about football, but about life and everything. So today was more about that and meeting Coach Kerry Combs coming back to be the defensive coordinator and Corey Dennis, the new quarterbacks coach.
All right, Donnie. Well, before we let you go, I've got to ask you about some other Big Ten news. Were you surprised at all about Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio stepping down yesterday? Now, of course, a few years back, you had some health issues, and it seems like you're starting to see more and more some of these head coaches stepping away before they feel like it's a little bit too late. And reading the release he put together yesterday, I certainly got that impression that he certainly wanted to spend more time with his family. I was a little taken back and a little surprised by that last night, though. Were you surprised at all to see that he's stepping down?
I'm surprised it happened now. I'm surprised it happened the day before signing day. I'm surprised it happened in February. I think he probably knew this was going to happen come December, come January. I'm surprised it didn't happen then. I think this puts Michigan State behind the eight ball as far as trying to find a replacement for Coach D'Antonio. I know a lot of people say Luke Fickell. I don't know if Luke Fickell's going to leave. He really likes Cincinnati. It's a great fit for him and his family. I look at more of like a Notre Dame for a perfect situation for Luke Fickell, not so much Michigan State. I think it puts the Spartans in, behind the eight ball a lot. I also think that that bonus of $4.3 million that he gets owed, that he's owed for being the coach through at the beginning of, I think it was February or end of January, that had a big help as well.
It was fascinating, you're right, that he waited until the beginning of February to do it. Now, of course, in most instances, it's not like he wakes up February 1st and he says, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, and it's coincidental because I'm going to make four extra $1 million. My guess is he clued the university in on what his plans were, and it seems like they've got a plan in place. Mike Tressel's the interim head coach for now, and of course, there are some rumors out there about maybe Pat Narduzzi going back to Michigan State. He, of course, was the DC there for a while. You mentioned Fickell's name thrown out there as well. So it will be fascinating to see who is roaming the sidelines for Sparty next year. But that was perhaps the biggest Big Ten news going into action yesterday. Well, Donnie, as always, my friend, we certainly do appreciate the time. Thank you, as always, for joining us. And we look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week. Have a good one.
All right, Donnie, you do the same. That's Sean Duddingen, WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus.